But we're very thankful that you've come, and may the Lord bless you as you minister the word of God.
Well, it's great to be here. It really is. Thank you for the privilege of being able to come and share with you. As Hugh said, I've been looking forward to meeting many of you over the last few years, and for some reason, the Lord just, in His planning and timing, just didn't allow that. So we're here now, and that's great. I'm sorry that I'm here alone. It's supposed to be a family camp, but circumstances were such that my family were not able to join me. My wife, Dorothy, is with our two youngest girls over in PEI at the moment, together with our son, Sam, who lives in Fredericton, to have a few days off. The Lord gave us 8 children. One was called home in childbirth, 7 surviving children, 3 boys, 4 girls. And our eldest son lives in Kingston, Ontario. And a second son, who is in the process of becoming a paramedic, almost landed a job in New Brunswick, and by a bureaucratic error, wasn't allowed to proceed with the testing, and is currently doing some testing in Ontario. Our son Sam, who lives in Fredericton, he's a pilot. And then we have 2 daughters in North Bay, Ontario, one who graduated as a registered practical nurse and is now doing the bridging program into the RN program at the University of Nipissing. And then another daughter, Leanne, who has just started at CTS Career College in North Bay. So they're getting spread out. We have 2 daughters at home, 17 and 14, and we're starting to get worried because there's only 2 left at home. And I know sometimes when you've had lots of children, maybe you don't notice the first few disappear. But when you're down to 2, suddenly we're talking to our daughters and explaining to them that these 2 are not allowed to leave until they're at least 42 years old, because we can't face the idea of the empty nest. But the Lord has been good to us and has blessed us. We came originally from South Africa and emigrated to Canada in 1988, lived in Toronto for a few years, and then Peterborough. For about 16 years, I had the privilege of teaching at Coathal Lakes Bible College there for those years. And then we moved up to the little village of Englehart in northern Ontario. It's just a tiny little dot on the map. If you blink, you miss us. And we've been there 10 years now, ministering in the chapels in the whole northeastern region. I travel between 10 or 11 different chapels in a 5-hour radius of that area. And so ministering different chapels, as well as we've had the privilege the last 5 years of being involved with the Emmaus Correspondence School ministry. And we send Bible correspondence courses across Canada, coast to coast. And it's a very exciting ministry, and it's a growing ministry that the Lord has seen fit to open up some great new opportunities to us. So we're excited about the future and what the Lord is doing and is going to do. We are nothing, but He is everything, right? We are weak, but He is strong. We have nothing to offer in and of ourselves, but we offer the Word of God, the bread of life. And it's a privilege to be a servant of the Lord. I wanted to just pause again at this point and just pray and ask the Lord to be here and the Lord to speak to our hearts this weekend, and I'm excited to share the Word of God with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would experience this weekend that the Word of God is sharp, is active, as a two-edged sword, that it would cut and pierce and divide and expose. We pray that your Word would come powerfully to us, not simply as the Word of man, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. That the preaching of the Word would be accompanied with much assurance and conviction and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we would be receptive to your Word. Help us not to close our minds, help us not to close our hearts, but to truly open ourselves to surrender to you. And we ask you to speak, Lord. Speak deep into our souls. Stir us, we pray. Draw us closer to yourself, Lord. Teach us, we pray, that we might walk with you, that we might be filled with you, that we might experience that reality of the sweetness of daily communion with you. Father, thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this camp. Thank you for the staff here, for the organizers. Thank you for each person, each family that has come. And we're looking to you, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in our midst this weekend. And we pray that what we experience here might be to your honor and to your glory and for our edification. So, Lord, we depend on you completely. We have no confidence in the flesh. Our only hope and confidence is in you. We submit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For this weekend, I want to take one main verse, Romans 8 verse 2, as kind of our theme. And then we're going to expand a little bit around that verse and look at the book of Romans and what it says about this particular truth. So here's the verse, Romans chapter 8 verse 2. The statement, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Read that again. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Now, we don't want to just theorize about that this weekend. We want to examine that. We want to explore it. We want to pray through that truth. We want to pray for understanding, to really grasp, to lay hold of, to appropriate that truth, to experience the reality of what that really means. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I want to suggest to you that this is not just kind of the essence or the core of the Christian life, but this is the Christian life. This is the Christian life. The Christian life is not about rules and regulations, do's and don'ts. The Christian life ultimately is not about externals, but the internal reality of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Of course, that impacts the external, that changes, that transforms the external. But the very center, the reality, the core, what the Christian life is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul uses the phrase, Christ our life. Christ, our life. And that's really what this is all about, right? The Christian life is about Christ. It's not actually about you and I. It is about Christ. And as we look at this verse, as we look at the book of Romans, we'll see again and again, it's the Lord Jesus that is exalted. It's the Lord Jesus that is presented to us. It's the Lord Jesus that is the answer. He is the solution. He is the power. He is the truth. He is the way. It's about the Lord Jesus. This is the Christian life. Christianity is Christ. In this verse, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. There's two laws. And those two things are complete opposites. They are extremes. They are mutually exclusive. A huge contrast is posed here for us, right? On the one hand, the law of the Spirit. On the other side, the law of sin and death. On the one side, Christ Jesus. On the other side, the flesh, self. On the one side, freedom. On the other side, bondage. On the one side, life. On the other side, death. Two opposite and exclusive laws. The law of the Spirit, of life in Christ Jesus, and the law of sin and death. As we think of those two opposites, as we think of those two laws, I want us to examine our own hearts this weekend and ask the question, which of these is operating in our lives as the characteristic of our lives? Like we all go up and down and we're inconsistent, but which is the overall, overarching characteristic of our lives? What is it that is flowing out of your life and my life? What is it that on a day-to-day basis is issuing forth, is flowing forth from us? Is it primarily the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Or is it primarily the law of sin? The law of death? Is it Christ or is it self? Is it freedom or is it bondage? Is it life or is it death? Which law is controlling you? Which is dominating you? Well, let's put it a little more personal. Which of these two is controlling your marriage, your home? Is it the flesh that is showing itself, being exposed, being revealed, being manifest? Or is it the Spirit of God? Is it Christ or is it self? Is it life or is it death? My wife and I work with a lot of people having struggles in their marriage. And then again and again and again, we see as we meet people, as we start to talk to them, as we find out a little bit about who they are and how they operate, we very, very quickly see one of two principles at work. Either the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or we see this principle of self, of pride, of sin. We either see life at work or we see death at work. They may be professing Christians, but in many Christian marriages, we see death at work, destruction. We see couples not walking in the Spirit, not abiding in Christ, but having confidence in themselves, in the world, in worldly philosophies and ideas, and not having a true surrender to the Lord. And the destruction is so obvious within those marriages. What is controlling your home as you interact with your children? Is it self or is it Christ? You know, I discovered before, I was married only at 27 years old. And I was in the ministry full time for a number of years before I was married. And I was called upon in my early 20s within the context of the church where I was pastoring to give marriage counseling, to give pre-marriage counseling for couples getting married, for working with families who had children and going through difficulties. I wasn't married and I had all the answers. It was so simple. I mean, I just, you know, I read a few books and it's like, okay, people, yes, here we go. Step 1, 2, 3, happy marriage, happy kids. And it didn't seem to work. So what's wrong with these people? You know, I've all this wonderful theory and these people are not following my theories. Well, then I got married and I had kids of my own. And then I stopped trying to give advice to people. Because then you enter into the real world, right? And all of the complexities of the real world. And you discover that within yourself, you have no answers. And I think having children was one of the best lessons in driving me to my knees, in recognizing, Lord, I am totally dependent upon you. I'm totally dependent on the grace of God in this exercise. Because if it depends on me, I'm going to blow it completely. This is going to be a terrible, terrible tragedy. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus versus the law of sin. And I had to discover and I had to learn in my own life, in my marriage, in my family, to let go. I had to learn to abandon hope and trust in myself. And I'm still learning that. It's an ongoing experience, learning that the answers are in Him. The answer is in the power of the Spirit of God. The answers are in the Word of God. The answers are in the Lord Jesus Christ and not in me. Which law dominates you at work? And that's a tough one sometimes, you know. Sometimes Christians, when they're together with other Christians, they can act like Christians, and because there's all this positive peer pressure, right? But when you're away from that positive peer pressure and you're in a negative peer group, and that group is not going to applaud you for taking a stand for Christ. They're going to ridicule you for that. They're going to tear you down. They're not going to respect you for wanting to obey the Word of God. They're going to trash you. They're going to think that you're out of touch with reality. In that context, if we're simply depending on our own ability to try a little harder, it's going to wear us down and we're going to crash. We desperately need, in that very practical context of opposition, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And for it to be the Lord Himself who shines out through us. That other people, even though they may disagree with the truth that they see operating in us, even though they may despise the fact that we are committed to the Lord and walking with the Lord, they nevertheless will recognize there's a man, there's a woman who doesn't belong to themselves anymore. They've been bought with a price. They belong to another. They have a steadfast, vehement allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Which law controls? Can I put it even maybe closer? Which law controls us as Christians within the church? In my lifetime, I've had the privilege of ministering in a number of different contexts, in a number of different denominations in South Africa, and for 3.5 years down in the southern states when I was studying there, and then coming into Canada, ministering amongst a number of different groups. One thing I've discovered in every church group, in every denomination, you have the same personality types. Doesn't matter what the label on the door says. You have the same stresses. You have the same relationship problems in all of those groups. And as I've moved amongst different groups of Christians, the thing that I've realized and seen again and again, the principle of self, of pride, of me first, is very strong even amongst Christians. My likes, my dislikes, my preferences, my wants, my needs. I want things done this way. I don't like things done that way. I don't click with that person. I don't like that group of Christians there. I prefer this group over here. And very quickly and easily, even as Christians, we can walk in the flesh. And there can be disunity. There can be disharmony. We can tear each other apart and tear each other down when we're not walking in the Spirit of God. When the law of sin is at work within us instead of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Because as we will see, that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is exhibited, for example, in Galatians 2 and verse 20, where Paul says, "It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me." It's not me. It's not me calling the shots, running the show. It's not about me. It's not about you trying to accommodate what I want or don't want. It's about me sacrificing myself for you. As Christ loved us and gave Himself for us, that becomes the model. Husbands, love your wives. As Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. As believers, we are to be willing to lay down our lives for each other. In truth, in reality, right? It's not about what I want. But brother, sister, how can I minister to you? It's okay if I get trampled. That's not important because I no longer live. It's about Christ. It's about Christ being glorified and magnified. It's about Christ ministering to you. It's not about me. Is that hard? Humanly speaking, it's impossible. It's impossible. We are not capable of that. It is only possible in Christ, in the power of the Spirit. As I daily learn to put myself in the place of death, as I learn to put myself in that identification with Christ on the cross, it's not about me. It's about Him. It's about His life. It's about His will. It's about His word. It's about His desires in this world and His plans in this world, not mine. Which is operating, even within our churches, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or the law of sin and death? There are many, many churches who are living in death. The lamp has gone out. There's no witness to the world. There's nothing to present to the world, because as the world looks at us as believers, they say, you're no different from us. You're just like us. You have no hope. You talk about the political and financial affairs of the world with the same sense of hopelessness than we non-Christians do. You speak as if, you know, your world is falling apart just as much as ours is. You don't seem to have anything different from us. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus should be what is operating in you, operating in me. We're going to explore that this weekend and think about it, and I ask you to pray through this and pray for yourself and pray for me as I try and share these things. I'm not sharing it from a position of saying, hey guys, I got it all together. No, I'm saying I'm a fellow pilgrim on this narrow and often rocky road, and it's tough. And sometimes I lose my way. And sometimes I go, how did I get here? Where did I turn off the path? I got to retrace my steps. I got to go back. Oh, I can't believe. How could I have done that? How could I have said that? How could I have taken that turn off, you see? None of us are perfect. The process of growth. That's why we need each other. We need each other. No Christian can ever say, I don't need to go to church. I don't need those other Christians. I'm fine on my own. Ooh. As soon as I hear somebody say that, all the alarm bells go off. It's like there's something desperately wrong. That person spiritually is so far off at that point. Brother, sister, I need you. You need me. We need each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to support each other. We need to rebuke each other. We need to exhort each other. Ever done a study through the New Testament on all the one another's? You know, love one another, pray for one another, exhort one another. It's a great study. See, we need to pray for each other. And even this weekend, as we think about these things, that God would speak and we would edify each other. I'm not coming up here to try and say, here's the perfect little model. And I have it all together. Here's the package. If you buy into this package, hey, no more problems in your Christian life. Not at all. That's not what this is about. But this is exploring and grappling with the truth of the Word of God. And as we share it, I'd love to hear from you after each one of these sessions as to how the Lord is working this out in your life, that I can learn from what God is teaching you about these things, that together we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's a moment by moment thing, isn't it? I mean, every day, moment by moment, we face decisions. Decisions to walk according to the flesh or according to the Spirit. You can be driving down the road and all of a sudden somebody cuts in front of you and you face a decision to respond in the flesh or the Spirit. Right? You're busy doing something and one of the kids suddenly does something. And you have a choice, mom, to respond in the Spirit or the flesh. Right? You can be at church in fellowship and suddenly something happens or somebody says something and it evokes that response within you. And you want to snap back at them. You want to just tell them off. face a decision. To answer in the spirit or the flesh. You might be about to make a purchase of some kind, and as you take your credit card out, is this of the flesh? Is this feeding the flesh? Is this covetousness? Is this greed? Or is this something the Lord has directed you to do? I mean, constantly, in every way, every day, we're faced with the decisions. Walk in the flesh or walk in the spirit. To walk in bondage or in freedom. Sit down in front of your computer and you turn it on, you go on the internet. You're going to walk in bondage or in freedom. The choices are countless in front of you as soon as you go onto that internet, right? You can be standing at a checkout counter. Do I look there or do I turn away? Am I going to allow the flesh to dominate? Am I going to allow myself to indulge the lust of the flesh? Or am I going to say, no, I am going to walk in the Spirit. The Spirit of Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin. I don't have to do that. I don't have to allow myself to be drawn. I can walk in freedom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't have to give in to sin. I don't have to allow my mind to be the devil's cesspool. I can say, no, not me. The life of Christ in me. Freedom instead of bondage. Righteousness instead of sin. We're going to explore the fact that as we are saved as believers, the Lord puts us in a position of righteousness. But then he begins to work out the practice of righteousness within us. And in fact, we are called to be holy and blameless before him. Be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. God calls us to cleanness, to righteousness, to purity, to holiness as believers. We are to pursue holiness. We are to go after it with gusto. We are to desire holiness. But we face a choice continually, every day, in so many different areas. Am I going to choose righteousness? Cleanness? I'm going to choose dirt, darkness, filth, sin, self, pride. What am I going to choose? Sin or righteousness? The sin path is the path of bondage. The sin path is the path of death. It's destructive. It's harmful. It's not the path of joy. It's the path of confusion, right? But we have a choice. We see those same two opposites presented in Galatians chapter 5, don't we? He says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's the Spirit or the flesh. The Spirit versus the sin in the flesh. He talks about the works or the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, right? The evidence that the flesh is in control of our lives, he says, is obvious, right? Anger and bitterness and rage and pride and lust and fornication. I mean, he gives quite a list there. He says those are evidences or fruit of self, of sin, of the world, of Satan. You want to choose that? And he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. This is the evidence of the Spirit. You'll notice he doesn't say this is the fruit of you as a Christian trying really, 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 really hard. No, he says it's the fruit of the Spirit. It is the work of the Spirit. The Spirit produces the fruit as we walk in the Spirit, as we allow the Spirit of God to work in us. Instead of quenching Him, instead of resisting Him, instead of saying no to the Lord, we say yes to the Lord. We constantly invite Him in. We open ourselves up to Him. And as we do, He begins a work of transformation, step by step, little by little, moment by moment. It's a lifelong process, making us more and more like Christ, conforming us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two opposites, two extremes. two choices. I wish that that choice was only had to be made once in life. You know, okay, from now on, I'm going to walk with the Lord. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to be holy. I'm going to walk in righteousness. Check. Doesn't work like that, right? It's a day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment reality. Choices, choices. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Wow. What is this? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? What is that? What is that? That's what we're going to think about this weekend. That's what we're going to pray through. That's what we want to talk about and discuss and share together this weekend. To come to maybe just a little bit more of an understanding of that. To just lay hold of it a little bit more this weekend. And say, Lord, make this real. Make this true in me. In my home. In my relationships. In my marriage. In my work. In my church. Every part of who and what I am. Let me understand, let me live out the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Father, we pray that you would help us with this. Lord, this is not a concept that we can easily understand. Lord, we know that there are aspects to this that are so deep and are beyond where we are at right now. But Father, we ask and pray in the name of Jesus that you would just expand our minds, our understanding, just open up, enlarge our hearts to see more, to experience more of this, to appropriate this. Father, teach us. Holy Spirit, illuminate us. Lord Jesus, draw us closer to yourself this weekend as we think about these grand and glorious truths. In Jesus' name. Amen.